Jesus put it in the scriptures slightly differently. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and all other things will be given to you. The church starts this year with a budget deficit for the year ahead of over £50,000. This is a challenge to my faith, and I imagine a challenge to yours too. But £50,000 plus is small fry compared to the challenges presented to Moses and God's people. Thousands of them finding themselves having fled the might of Pharaoh, now in the wilderness, seemingly without a plan. And as I said before, without McDonald's, Nando's, KFC, or even Greg's. The Exodus story is all about God setting his people free. It's God's big deliverance from the slavery of Egypt to a land that is going to be flowing with milk and honey. It's the big story of him setting us free from the things which control us and stop us from thriving to fullness of life. Jesus stands in the Moses story when he says, the thief comes only to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life in its fullness. And if you follow my teachings, Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The big story here is that Egypt have forgotten how God's people through Joseph had wonderfully delivered them from a terrible famine. Remember the story? And suddenly God's people were becoming numerous and seemingly powerful. And so Egypt started to make them slaves to their projects. And the Egyptians had a few building projects, didn't they? And so the Israelites cried out, God, help us, save us. And God hears them and begins his deliverance. First, he starts by calling a person, Moses. Then he prepares that person, giving him Aaron and a staff. Just keep going, Mark. I think I've got a little buzzer, which might work, but yeah, brilliant. Equips him. Then he sends Moses to Pharaoh. And at Pharaoh, we see this mighty, titanic battle of the plagues until finally Pharaoh relents and says, you can go. You can go. And they find themselves at the Red Sea and Pharaoh changes his mind and he's ready to kill them again. But God parts the Red Sea and they go through. But now they are here in need of God's provision. In the wilderness, thousands of people. Recently we went on a church weekend away to Keswick. And I was responsible for 30 people wandering round Keswick, hoping that they would all arrive back at the car park at the same time. Some wanted to do golf, some wanted to look at the ducks, some wanted to visit the charity shop, some wanted to go for a coffee, and someone wanted half a lager. How difficult it was to control them. And Moses is here now with thousands. And as I say, no food, no provision. And so they cry out, if only we had died in the Lord's hand in Egypt. We'd rather be back there, slaves. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. but you have brought us into the desert to starve. The journey to freedom always has its challenges. The walk of faith, walking with God, always has the need for God's miraculous provision. Maybe in this room, some of you are wondering and thinking about what God might have whispered in your ear, might be calling you to. Maybe you've got a strong sense that God is asking you to do something, but you're wondering, how can I do that without God's provision? Maybe you're thinking, I need to leave my job or do something vastly different. And you're thinking, well, it won't add up. The money won't work. Maybe it's about, you know, you want to serve. You want to see a thriving youth work. But you think, how will my time fit? God is a provider for us as individuals, but also for us as a church, as a whole community. We know we're being called to do a host of wonderful things. If you came in early, I know that's not a crag thing to do. You'd have seen a PowerPoint of all the different things we do, from drop-ins to things like the lantern to all the different exciting things. And there are more things on our hearts to do to serve our community. And at times we need to cry out to God for help because we don't know how God's going to give us what we need. I remember a number of years ago, 2011, I got the privilege to go to Belfast and to see the East Belfast Mission. And this was a project which came out of the Methodist Church, where they'd had an old hall which had died. It had just fallen to pieces and they had to knock it down. And God started to give them the vision here in Belfast, where the conflict between Catholic and Protestant was so strong and it was just emerging after the peace agreement. And actually they got Catholics and Protestants and all denominations in one room, and they had this dream that we could build a centre for everyone that would serve the homeless, the unemployed, families, and also provide a place of worship. And this dream grew and people got excited about it. And from this old dilapidated building, which is about to be on your screen, kind of came something very different. Wait. Because they had these amazing plans, but the money to build it got up to 10 million and they'd only raised 8. And they drained every resource down. The last pot of money was from the European Commission Fund. And the application was due in, but they rang them and they said, listen, I'm really sorry. Really sorry. We don't think your application will fit. You can apply by all means, but it's not. And they're there scratching their head. They're 3 years into this project. They've started building, but they've run out of money. And they cry out. They get on their knees and they pray. 2 days later, they get a phone call. Said, listen, I want you to gather your volunteers, your funders, get them all in the space that you've got, what's left of your dilapidated building. We've got someone coming to visit your project. And they think, gosh, this is exciting. So they call everyone. They get them arranged in a horseshoe. An hour before they arrive, they get the call to find out who it is. It's none other than Queen Elizabeth, on her first visit to Northern Ireland since 1954. She comes in, they're in a horseshoe, it's rough Belfast. The excitement is so much that they pour forward and they nearly fall over. The Queen has to be taken back out of the room. They have to restore order. They think they've blown it. They get order back. The Queen with Prince Philip on one side walk into the room. The Queen goes one way, meeting and greeting. She gets to the funder who represents the European Commission and she says to him, this is a very good project, isn't it? Don't you think? Prince Philip walks the other way, gets to the same person and says, this is a very good project, don't you think? You should get your finger out and fund it, as only Prince Philip would. The next day, they get a phone call. European Commission here. We think you've got a very good project. We'd like to speak to you. They fund it. And now here in East Belfast, this next building is up and running. A church from Methodist Hall to Community Centre. God's vision with God's provision. There are challenges, aren't there, to the journey to freedom. But God is a provider. The journey to freedom also has lessons that we have to learn. God says, I will rain down bread from heaven. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see if they are, whether they will follow my instructions. God is testing and teaching. How is God testing and teaching? Well, only take enough for this day, he says. So tempting, isn't it, to take more than you need, just in case. What happens when they take more? The next day, it's full of maggots and it stinks. But on the Sabbath, the day before the Sabbath, on the sixth day, God says, take twice as much this time on the Sabbath so that they don't have to go out and work. The food isn't full of maggots and it doesn't stink. God is wanting to bless, but he's wanting to make disciples. And here in the wilderness, he's doing that. I wonder how many prayers God answers each day, that once he's answered them, once he's provided for people, he's forgotten about until the next crisis comes along. I wonder if that next crisis could have been avoided if only people listened to God's instructions. Guilty? Sometimes, yes. Hopefully, less and less so as I learn to trust God as my Lord and provider. How important it is to have a theology of enough, to know when you have all that you need. Sweets. I love sweets. And I could easily eat all this packet. But you know what I've learned? When I do, I feel a little bit sick at the end. How much better? To lay them on the table. Take one for me and share. No, not only don't I feel sick, but when we do that, we experience the joy of someone else's smile. We experience the joy of connecting with someone else, the joy of friendship, having a theology of enough helps us to discover so much more than what is our simple need. In this world of capitalism, in this world of capitalism, we have many material gains, but how many of them are we really able to thoroughly enjoy? Or are we just finding ourselves caught up in the slavery of being on that hamster wheel of doing more, earning more, providing more, so that we have everything that everyone else has? How easy is our world caught up in this? Once upon a time, a Western businessman went to a rural part of Africa and became friends with a fisherman. He said to the African fisherman, what did you do today? He said, I went fishing. Did you catch anything? Yes, I caught one fish. What did you do after you caught one fish? I took it home, I cooked it, I fed my family. He said, oh, right. What are you doing tomorrow? He said, I'm going fishing. said, oh, and he came back and said, "What have you? How many fish did you catch?" "I caught one fish. I took it home. I fed my family." "How long did it take?" He said, "Oh, a couple of hours." He said, "Why didn't you stay and catch two or three or four or five fish?" He said, "Why would I want to catch two or three or four or five fish? One fish feeds my family." He said, "Well, if you caught two or three or four or five fish, then you could earn some money. You could sell them. Well, what would I want to earn money for? Well, then you wouldn't have to go fishing tomorrow. What would I do tomorrow?" Said the fisherman, "If I didn't have to go fishing." God wants to teach us about having a theology of enough, of recognizing sometimes our perspective is what makes us feel poor rather than our reality. For God to bring us into freedom from our slavery, he needs to provide for us, but also help us to be his disciples, to follow his way, that we might appreciate everything. Finally, the journey of freedom has joy to discover. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be given unto you. God's will, done God's way, will never lack God's provision. Then God told Moses to tell Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he's heard your grumbling." In my version of the Bible, he says, "Draw near. Draw near. Come and worship." And as they did, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud, and the Lord spoke to Moses, "At twilight you will eat meat. In the morning you'll have your fill of bread, and you'll know that I am the Lord your God." Moses was asked to take off his shoes when he approached the bush. I sometimes think that was God saying to Moses, "Stop working. Stop trying to do it in your own strength for a moment. Lean in and listen. I will provide what you need. Listen it and do it my way." What joy there must have been when they discovered manna on the floor. Like that first bite of a Big Mac, I think. What joy in East Belfast when the funders rang to say the money's been wired to you. What joy the moment when a volunteer you needed to run Lantern rings you up and says, "I can be on the hospitality team." Your prayers are answered. What joy when we all club together and we hit our church budget target. What joy there is when God answers our prayers. Hudson Taylor went to China and was a missionary there for 54 years. From Barnsley he went. He's responsible through his missionary organisation for sending 800 missionaries to some of the toughest place to be a missionary in the world in the 19th century. He didn't drive around in nice cars or fancy clothes. He learnt the secret of having enough, but also of knowing God would provide for what was his needs. The secret of freedom, of God setting the people free, is to pray, to trust, to be content with what God gives us. The story of Exodus is a great journey of God setting his people free. Jesus came to step in Moses' shoes to help us be set free from the things that enslave us by trusting, by praying, by following his way. here on church on this giving day. Let's take a moment today or this week to pause, to press the reset button, to say, God, what are you calling me to? How are you calling me to serve the church with my resources, with my time, with my skills, with my money? And let's be obedient to what we hear, that he will provide everything we need. Amen. I'm going to invite Harold to come and lead us in prayer.